Chapter 83. Aldredan Micmere. Pontiff Aethon sat upon the throne of Echo Hold in Aldaloth's absence. He rubbed the rough, stony edges of the armrests with his hands and grinned with satisfaction. While not a king, he fancied that at this moment he held more power than Shatan ever had, and he certainly used it with more skill than the dim-witted, cowardly and tragically short-lived monarch. The Ulric had played his part badly, but in the end Aldaloth's purposes had been served. Aethon took comfort in Aldaloth's mercy. If one such as Shatan, with all his fumbling and stumbling, could earn Aldaloth's rest, then surely the man who had succeeded in facilitating his healing by bringing him the deluded Shalane would earn splendorous rewards untold. That Aldaloth had chosen him to use the sword of the Shalane to restore Ki Hall to its former glory was an unexpected and humbling assignment that thrilled him. Today he sat in audience in the ascetic Great Hall, a place that suited his notion of propriety. The lack of frippery and fashion pleased him, the hard, earthy nature suiting the simplicity and strength he had always wished to project. The entire edifice had been carved directly from the stone, a building born from nature itself. Its heavy ceiling exuded a sense of dangerous weight that had been properly subdued for the use of man. Today, Aethon hoped to hear the first reports of those accepting the invitation to join the procession of glory. Busy days awaited to prepare for such a momentous journey, but all the pieces were in place. His padres ruled the nations. The people danced in the streets in adulation, and whatever Aldaloth needed was freely given. Their god had left to prepare the way east to Eldaluri Mora. Aethon scoffed at the fools that had arranged the first disastrous caravan. So many mistakes, so little discipline and control. Only Eldaloth's merciful care had spared them from utter ruin. "I will do better," he promised himself. He would honour Aldaloth with a caravan that would praise his name and protect his subjects with orderliness and efficiency. He had prepared for every contingency, from weather to the still troublesome Uyumark to some desperate attempt by Mirel and her allies to stop them. The door to the hall swung open, admitting the first visitor of the morning. Aethon corrected his posture, gripping the pontiff's staff and sitting erect even though the guest was his long-time friend and confidant, Padre Nolan. Pontiff Aethon regarded him with a friendly expression, until Nolan's quick gait and anxious face prompted concern. The man, long used to difficult news and hard decisions, appeared genuinely alarmed. He didn't even bother to properly genuflect as he should have done.
"It is most extraordinary," Padre Nolan began.
"Be easy, Padre Nolan," Pontiff Aethon said as his friend stopped before him. The poor man was out of breath.
"I don't think we can be easy about this, Padre Aethon. We are in danger of losing control of Rugoth."
Aethon stood.
"What, Mirel?" "Not exactly."
"Who would do this, the regents?" Padre Nolan took a moment to collect himself, and Aethon slid back on the throne, bracing his back and bracing for news.
"We cannot lose control of Rugoth so easily," he reassured himself. "I placed enough soldiers there to crush any rebellion." "It is not Mirel or the regents, though they surely lend their support and their men. Rugoth has its king again. Aldredan Micmere has returned."
Aethon reeled.
"Impossible! Church scholars have confirmed his death. This is some trick."
"It may be, Pontiff," Padre Nolan agreed, "but he comes with mighty power. We've wondered who it was that rescued Mirel with that display of magic, especially with Ethrys dead. Aldredan claims that responsibility, saying that Mirel's need pulled him away from his rest and into the world again. He wields a sword that can cleave anything, as he amply demonstrated in Embris, dismantling the Elder Fair with the telltale blade. It was his first appearance as Aldredan, apparently. If the stories are to be believed, he rode into the city practically glowing, sword drawn and calling for the pilgrims to hear his words. Our Elder Fair went to stop him, but just as he did on the streets of Echo Hold, he destroyed them with little effort. By the time he left, even the Elder Fair who remained believed he was the King of Micmere returned, and the word is spreading quickly through Tenswater, and hence the world."
Pontiff Aethon calmed himself.
"We have an army in Rugoth, and there is no way they could—"
The door to the Great Hall opened again, and an acolyte jogged forward. Aethon called for silence from Padre Nolan. There was no need to start rumours and create panic. The acolyte handed Nolan a letter and withdrew quickly. Nolan read it and turned as white as a sheet.
It is confirmed. Micmir is out of our hands.
No. So quickly?
Padre Madred is dead. It says that Alderdon came into the city accompanied by the Shalane after having gathered a mighty mob of people along the way. The gates were shut, but he opened them with a word of command. Our soldiers simply fled. Apparently Madred tried to confront Alderdon, but fell dead without so much as a whimper. From all reports, King Micmir looks and acts the part. Mirel is with them, and Alderdon is preaching her belief that Eldaloth is indeed Mikik.
This is some scheme of hers, Aethon said, face livid. I should have killed that woman 100 times by now. Where she conjured up an Alderdon Micmir I cannot guess, but this is the true fraud. I must inform Eldaloth at once. He will know how to act to stop this treachery.
There's more, Padre Nolan continued. Alderdon Micmir will wed the Shalane in Micmir in 3 days, and has invited everyone of importance to attend. The same list we sent to join the procession of glory, I assume.
Aethon tried to keep his boiling anger under control for the sake of Padre Nolan.
She is just spitting in my face now, he ranted. They must all be punished. We must expose this fake king for whoever he really is and quell these doubts. I can't believe this. Please keep me informed of any further developments. I will call a council this afternoon. Please get all the padres here who can attend. We have some holes in our ranks to fill, and quickly.
I will, Pontiff, Nolan said, bowing. But there is more. We have a very unexpected visitor. Do you remember Dacen, Lord Kildan's son? Yes, his father was just executed. He wishes an audience with you.
Aethon's eyes widened.
He left the Shalane? Is this some further device of Mirel's?
I do not think so, Padre Nolan said. I have him under guard outside. Will you see him?
This is indeed strange. Yes, see him in and stay with me to ward against any treachery.
Aethon resumed a formal posture on his throne as Padre Nolan returned with their unlooked-for guest. Dacen had sided with the Ha'ulric, Aethon remembered, when Jen had turned everyone against him. He was Tolnorian, a skilled fighter and every inch a courtier. When he entered, his handsome face was twisted in an unhappy scowl, though Aethon thought the cause might be the binds and escort, both an affront to his honour.
Dacen, protector of the Holy Shalane, Aethon said, you choose an odd time to see me? Do you come of your own accord or as Mirel's little puppet? Perhaps you wanted to join the procession of glory. You are invited, but I thought your devotion to the Shalane would preclude you from the trip.
Dacen said, I come of my own accord, and I come because I believe the Shalane has been ill-used and is in danger.
Really? How so?
When we were driven into the woods, fleeing the Uyumark horde, a man came among us using the name of Amos. He claimed to be a friend of Maywen, the half-elf, and a worker of some small magic. He was always lurking in the shadows and the edges of the company, his eyes always on the Shalane. During the battles we fought, he was rarely seen, but stories of his magic and his prowess spread throughout the soldiers. But more troubling, while we were in Blackshire, I caught him with the Shalane on a couple of occasions, and it seemed as if he had won her ear.
I do not see the danger, Aethon said skeptically.
2 nights ago he and the Shalane were married in Embris, a secret affair.
Aethon's brows furrowed.
Is this the same man that was sent to retrieve Mirel from Echo Hold?
Yes.
Are you aware that he is claiming to be Alderdon Micmir returned?
Dacen's bulging eyes and slack jaw revealed the answer.
Alderdon Micmir?
Yes.
You say they were wed, but we received news today that the wedding is set for 3 days from now.
Perhaps you saw the betrothal?
I don't think so. But it must be a lie. He is no Alderdon Micmir, surely.
Even so, the Shalane wouldn't consent to marry him so quickly. Aethon saw what was really troubling the handsome Dacen, but he needed to draw it to the surface.
And why shouldn't she? She and Shertan certainly did not share a deep love.
In fact, I was quite sure she was enamoured of someone else.
Precisely,
Dacen said, rising to the bait. She and I have always had a high regard for each other, and since Shertan's death there was an unspoken understanding between us that we would wed to unite Tolnor in Rugoth, but the more time she spent with this Amos, the more distant and unusually cold she became toward me. It was unbearable.
It is hard to see someone change so quickly, Aethon said. You suspect that some magical influence was used?
When I saw them hand in hand at the altar, no one but him present, I knew something was amiss. Twice Amos used his magic to incapacitate me, so I dared not approach. But is it possible to use magic to sway one's affections so quickly?
Quite possible, yes, Athan confirmed. But what would you have me do? She has turned her back on Eldaloth and on me. I don't see how I can help you.
You must help me remove her from the clutches of that man, Dayson pled earnestly. I do not have magic to counter his, and I fear the Shalane is under some influence too strong for one of my meagre talents to break. I came to you because I am beginning to see what you have always believed, that Mirel and the Shalane are under some dark influence from the Ilk or someone else. I must rescue her. I know you cared for her once, watched out for her those long months in Ironkeep. You know she has been protected and shut away. She is naive and innocent and might fall under the influence of a magician easily.
Athan nodded, seeing an opportunity. I feel for you, but I worry that we can do little. With the Shalane inside of the fortress of Mikmir, she is no doubt under wards that not even I can pass. We simply cannot get to her to rescue her.
I have the brand, Dayson said. I can get to her, but if Amos is there, he will defeat me.
I hadn't considered that you had the brand, Athan lied. I believe I may be able to help you.
To the soldiers, he said, unbind him and get him a good meal. I will come to you shortly with instructions. Do you think that Mirel and the Shalane will accept you back if you return?
I believe they will, Dayson said, as soldiers cut through his bonds. There is a secret portal inside the Shalane's chambers. If I can see her there, I can get her out to Renbury Cathedral.
Good. The only hope the Shalane has is in you, her truest protector. You will need to leave soon if you are to keep her from being pulled into this farce of a wedding to an impostor. Once she is free of his influence, she will no doubt return that love she once felt for you, only doubly so. Take your rest now, and I will send you instructions soon.
Dayson smiled, a gleam returning to his eyes, and Athan knew he had him.
Just the tool I need, Athan thought.
He waved the swordsman away, trying to keep the grin off of his face. A fool in love was easily manipulated. If only Shatan had been so pliant and willing.
Is that all, Padre Nolan? Athan asked. Or do you yet have more surprises for me this morning?
That is all, and I'm sure more than enough.
Yes, keep me informed.
Now leave me. I must call to Eldaloth and inform him of what has happened.
Athan stared at his staff of office, admiring the beautiful quartzite crystal formed from Eldaloth's drying blood on the earth when he was struck down. Who would have thought that his return would bring such chaos and disbelief? Even dead, Mikik spread his poison, dividing and tearing asunder when unity should have come. The sword will set things right and help people have tangible proof, Athan thought. When Cahal was restored to its full glory, none would dispute the identity of the one called Eldaloth, and all of Mirel's careful plots would crumble in shame. Once the doors to the great hall swung shut, Athan stepped down from the throne and prayed, invoking the name of Eldaloth and imploring his aid. He could sense the bright light descending and opened his eyes. Eldaloth smiled upon him, as beautiful a being as any living had ever seen. How could Mirel and the Shalane doubt when such power and glory were before them?
Eldaloth, Athan said reverently, I have dire news.
Rise and speak, my chosen servant.
In a rush, Athan repeated what Padre Nolan had told him, taking strength from Eldaloth's calm presence. Only Eldaloth's eyes were troubled, and when Athan finished, he reached out and placed his holy hand on Athan's shoulder. Eldaloth's penetrating eyes held his.
This is indeed the work of Mikik, he intoned. We cannot wait any longer. We will proceed with the procession of glory, as planned, to keep them unaware. But you and Padre Nolan must leave in secrecy immediately for Elder Lurimora and perform the ritual there as I explained it. On fast horses with a small party, you will reach it in 3 days. Do nothing more. I will put an end to this pretended Aldredon Mikmir.
We have an unexpected ally, Holiness. It is one of the Shalane's protectors who has come to his senses and realized that she is being manipulated and tricked by those around her. He may be able to get to the Shalane and pull her away from those that deceive her. He claims he can get her to Renbury Cathedral in Mickmere, one of our church strongholds there. Do I have your permission to attempt to reclaim her?
Of course. I will take care of the predator if you can arrange to rescue the prey. This will show the people my power and put an end to this upstart rebellion.
Ethan was pleased. I will see it done. In 3 days the world will at last be set right. Your glory will shine through the world and the traitors will be put down. Eldaloth smiled at him, Ethan's heart leaping at having brought pleasure to his glorious master.
Is there more that you require, most holy Eldaloth?
Leave me and let me meditate upon my throne for a moment, he said. You have done well.
Ethan bowed and left. The pile of rocks crushed him without end. He lay mangled and smashed, left alone and buried by Gamadron, which had been acting under Jen's command. Sertorus hungered for food, the souls of sentient creatures that he so craved. Starvation had weakened him, and he could hardly think for the continual weight that could not kill him, even though every part of him was pulverized. His only freedom from despair was the unconquerable need to feed, that pushed aside all other ruminations that might have driven him mad. But in the darkness, a voice came to his mind, the voice of the one who had changed him into a creature of appetite, a creature that he loathed.
The time for your freedom has come, Mickick said. I have come to my power, but have one enemy left. When she is dead, I will free you from your curse, and you will be free to seek death. Anything to be free, Saturnus begged. Anything to feed? My servant comes to your aid. Be ready. The silencing of the world is at hand.
Jen lay on his back, staring at the canopy of the Shalane's bed, wondering if Gerund and Volney were getting suspicious that he insisted on guarding the Shalane personally during the night, since his duties as the returned King of Rugarth would certainly require him to get a good night's rest. The royal chambers built into the great hall to await the return of Aldredan Mickmere had lain dormant and unused, a museum piece, until Jen had shocked the world by taking upon himself the title of king. While Mirel had informed Volney of Jen's true identity, which shocked and delighted him, no one, not even Mirel, knew that he and the Shalane had already wed. He stroked the Shalane's hair as she slept peacefully. She rested as she had every night, with her head on his shoulder, an arm across his chest and one leg stretched across his. While he relished her unconscious embrace, he couldn't help but think she draped herself over him to prevent him from leaving without her knowing. Her sweet, trusting love always pushed away the intense hardships of the day, most of which were spent in court, with the Shalane receiving visitors and issuing instructions, or with Mirel trying to firm up plans for the wedding on ridiculously short notice. Once the wedding was complete, only about half of the force they had hoped for would be ready to march on Tenswater to get to the Echo Hold portal, and reports had already trickled in that the church was planning to contest their entry by force of arms. In spite of his worries, and the myriad of items demanding his attention, returning to Rugarth brought him great pleasure. While he still preferred the country lanes of Blackshire over packed city avenues, Mickmere felt like the place of his second birth. Here he had found purpose. Here he had risen in power and importance. Here he had found the woman he called wife, and who loved him without reservation. Following the Shalane through the maze their first night back came as naturally as if he had never been away, though retiring with her for the night in her chambers felt strangely inappropriate until she made it feel otherwise. More than anything, seeing her happy every single day, bright and carefree and smiling, felt like a victory over every darkness and evil he had struggled against for 2 years. The most important battle had been fought and won. The Shalane practically danced around the castle of Mickmere, shining like a second sun everywhere she went. With the Shalane happy, Mirel was happy too, in spite of the immense stress of the logistics and planning that absorbed her. It was a dream, and as the Shalane had expressed to him nearly every night as they lay together, she wished with all her heart the Mickick would simply go away and let them live in peace and joy. But it wasn't to be. This morning he would be a king and hold a council with his generals. This evening he would be a king again and wed the Shalane. Then tonight, one last time, he could be Jen, and she could be Alumira, alone again and in love. Then it was time for war and death and a desperate ride to Eldaluri Mora. He couldn't guess what would happen if Mikik succeeded in plunging the sword into the heart of the ancient city, but he also couldn't fathom what would happen if the Dark God failed and they won the day. Would he still go on pretending to be Aldrudan Mikmir, living out his life as a lie? He stirred and tried to gently pry the Shalane off him, but as he did, she woke enough to clamp onto him even more tightly.
"No, you don't," she said sleepily.
"Alumira, I have to get outside the door before Gerund arrives, or he may begin to suspect that I have behaved in an improper way toward you. Reputation is very important to Tol'Norians. Just go back to sleep. You need your rest for our wedding night."
He smiled and disentangled himself from his clinging wife of nearly a week. She pouted in protest, but quickly fell asleep. Jen smiled at her as he donned the regal uniform he had fashioned for himself for playing the part of Aldrudan Mikmir. Both Mirel and the Shalane had praised the black pants and deep blue shirt with gold trim, saying it accented his features and colours nicely. They sized him up like a bull at the fair, fussing about the length of his hair and the shape of his beard, but both had separately told him that he looked every inch a king. Belting the replica sword of Aldrudan Mikmir to his waist, he opened the door quietly and stepped out. And just in time. Footsteps in the maze signalled Gerund's approach, and Jen stood at attention trying to look like someone who had just spent a night in solitude and boredom, rather than the reverse.
"Good morning, my lord Mikmir," Gerund said, executing a bow. "I've come to relieve you."
"Gerund, I know we need to keep up pretenses, but bow to me as little as possible. It's hard enough to accept from complete strangers, but we are sword brothers and equals."
"Sword brothers, yes," Gerund said, "but equals?
I think not. Aldrudan Mikmir was not born a king, and neither were you, but you are both gifted leaders. The people are ecstatic and praise you highly."
"Thank you for your kind words," Jen replied, "but it will be a long time before I am used to this. And thank you for arriving promptly. I've got a council to prepare for this morning."
Jen left and wound his way out to the antechamber of the Shalane's, where Mirel waited for him, as she had every morning since their arrival. She had clearly slept little, red eyes ringed with dark circles.
"Good morning, Lord Mikmir,"
she said with a teasing smile.
Jen offered her his arm. "And to you the same, First Mother. It appears you need to follow the example of your daughter and sleep a little later. You seem to be at the point of exhaustion."
"I am tired, though I might comment that you seem a little too well rested for someone who has been performing guard duty at night and hardly has a moment to himself during the day. I would compliment you on the idea of personally guarding the Shalane, however. The story that Aldrudan Mikmir protects the Shalane has played well with the people. I am happy that she is so closely protected every night."
"And how is Volney working out?" Jen asked, changing the subject.
"It is odd to have someone so young and impressionable walking in my shadow," she said. "I gave him the day off to visit with his wife, since you will be with me almost all day."
The unification of the shards had not so neatly joined the tunnels between the shards where the bridge once spanned the gap. Workers had cleared a rough tunnel to the spiral walkway that led up to the great hall of the castle. Jen took breakfast with Mirel on the balcony, and they talked strategy for the council meeting and final plans for the wedding.
"I only lament that it will be a simple affair," Mirel said. "I had wished to throw the most luxurious and expensive wedding for my daughter, especially since this is a wedding we can both wholeheartedly look forward to."
"It is enough for us," Jen said. "I'm surprised you've arranged as much as you have on such short notice. You are very efficient."
"It is one of my better qualities."
A weak voice below the balcony tried to rise above the din of the workers decorating the great hall for the wedding.
"Lord Mikmir?"
Herne Fedrick waited on the floor, his once commanding voice having crumbled during Mirel's absence.
"My lord, you have a visitor who wishes an audience."
"Who is it, Chamberlain?"
"Dacen Kildan."
Jen's eyebrows raised. "I will come down in a moment. I wish to make him wait for a while."
"Very good, my lord."
"So the prodigal protector has come home," Mirel said, face troubled.
"I confess his departure has worried me a great deal, as it was so unexpected. Do you mind if I tag along and sit on my throne one last time?"
"Not at all. Let's finish and go down together."
They took their time with the food and then descended, Jen dismissing the decorators and the court scribe, so that they could talk with privacy. Jen took his seat on the massive throne of Aldredon Mickmere, Mirel sitting on the smaller one just below. Jen signalled to Herney, who went to retrieve the visitor.
"Dacen Kildan," he croaked a few moments later in a barely audible voice.
The last few days of constant visits had nearly incapacitated the old man. Dacen, now dressed in the black uniform of the Dark Guard, strode in. Jen sized him up, remembering Shadan Cairn's training on reading the details of stride and posture and expression. The Tolnorian's steps lacked confidence and his entire demeanour was tentative, but his face was resolute, eyes full of purpose. Whatever he felt, he had a hard time meeting their eyes, and Jen couldn't tell if he felt shame or harboured some secret anger toward them. Dacen knelt and bowed his head.
"Rise," Jen commanded, tone forceful. "You are brave to come to this hall after your desertion of the Shalane, Dacen Kildan of Tolnor. If you have come to beg for a return to your position of honour after such an act, then you are wasting your breath."
"Lord Mickmere," Dacen said, face earnest, "I realize my error in leaving unannounced as I did that evening, but I was a man disappointed in love, I thought mine alone. Since the passing of the Ha'ulric, it was my deepest wish and understanding that the Shalane and I would be wed to unite Tolnor and Rugarth for strength against the schemes of Mickic. It was my understanding that my feelings of love and affection were reciprocated by the Shalane. We have shared a closeness since my former appointment as her protector. When her love and person seemed at last within my grasp, I cannot tell you what joy filled my heart. Imagine my despair when I found out that this dream was not to be, that she had given her heart to some obscure woodsman that I only later came to know was Aldredon Mickmere. I was crushed and hurt, the very joy of life ripped from me cruelly. It was as if death had found me. I felt she had betrayed me, and my world had gone as black as the grave. I fled from her glorious presence and my pain, and in my despair I wandered, my duty to her lost beneath my sadness. I return now knowing my position is lost, but begging only one favour. I wish to be in her honour guard at her wedding. I can only hope that my years of service as a Dark Guard and a protector can earn me some leniency for the disappointment she must feel at my dereliction of duty. This one favour I ask, and no more." Jen regarded Dacen closely. It wasn't difficult to hear the shattered heart in his voice, and Jen remembered the Shalane's tale of their stolen kiss of regard while he was her protector. The Shalane had grown out of her infatuation, while his infatuation had grown into love, or at least some expectation of it.
"I cannot blame you for your feelings, Dacen," Jen said, "nor will I render judgment on your request immediately. I will consult the feelings of the Shalane, who, I believe, has always considered you an excellent man and a good friend. From those close to the Shalane, I know you have rendered good service in the past, and I do not wish to be punitive at this time of celebration. Take a room at the Quick Blade. I will send our decision to you before midday."
"I thank you, Your Majesty," Dacen said, appearing relieved. "I will await your word."
Dacen strode away, and Jen glanced at Mirel, who leaned in close. She said,
"It is a cruel thing, poor man. It was the wish of his father that they wed. The Shalane should have spurned his advances more forcefully."
Jen shook his head.
"She had a great deal of affection for him once."
"Once," Mirel agreed, "but she hasn't thought of him that way for a long time. You taught her what love really was, and she never looked back."
Jen nodded and sat back, pondering as Dacen disappeared behind the double doors. He could pity the man. To lose the love of the Shalane would crush anyone, and though it appeared that Dacen's surety of the Shalane's reciprocation of his love proceeded from a healthy imagination fed by vanity.
"Should we make a wager on whether the Shalane will allow him in the honour guard?" Mirel asked. "I'll wager 50 gold, she says yes, just to spare his feelings."
"I accept your wager and say she won't," Jen replied.
"She was powerfully annoyed with him before he left. When she found out he had ridden off, she said, 'Good riddance.'"
Mirel grinned.
"We shall see, Lord Mickmere. A mother knows her daughter."